This episode of Spawned is brought to you by Bitsbox, an engaging monthly subscription for kids that helps teach them to code in a super fun way. Visit bitsbox.com/coolmom and save 15% on any Bitsbox subscription with code COOLMOM.
And welcome to Spawned, a common sense and hopefully fun discussion on parenting and parenting culture. Hey, I'm Liz Gumbiner.
And I'm Kristen Chase, and we are the co-founders of CoolMomPicks.com.
On today's episode of Spawned, we are going to talk about what not to say to a working mom.
Yep, we compiled quite a list, definitely.
There's a lot of things not to say. This should be a fun one.
And then we'll close out our show with our cool picks of the week.
So, yeah, we took a break from frequently refreshing all the election poll forecasts to talk about parenting.
Are you speaking for yourself here? Because I haven't been doing that for a while now.
That's me. I'm like, refresh on 538.com. But today we're talking about working parents. And it's actually kind of interesting what inspired this idea. I mean, we talk about this all the time on our own, but it was really a Facebook post that you put up this week.
And about an app of all things. It had really nothing to do necessarily with working moms. You know, Liz, you know about these. I think they're in New York. They're described as Uber for kids. It's a service where you can hire what really are nannies to pick up your kids and drive them, whether it's to activities, to bring them home from school, basically serving as your chauffeur so you don't have to.
Yeah, and I think the term Uber for kids is a little provocative because, you know, there's some issues with Uber and privacy and safety. But really what they are is nanny services where they're vetted childcare providers who happen to have cars so they can help you with carpooling duty, right?
They're in San Francisco, they're in New York. Not surprising that they're currently in big cities. So we took a look at them to think about what would we do if we were going to use them? What questions would we ask? What can we tell parents if they're interested in using these services?
Yeah.
And I thought it was a great post.
I thought it was good, too.
I mean, really informative.
Really thoughtful.
Skeptical.
Clearly, Kate was very skeptical about it and like kind of answered and asked all the questions I ask as a parent when I'm looking into this kind of thing. So I thought it was really good. And then you put the post up on Facebook and people went batshit crazy.
I know.
Pedophiles and sex traffickers,
yes,
and illegal selling children into slavery. And
yeah.
Holy cow.
We'll link up our Facebook post on this in our podcast page for Cool Mom Picks because you have to read these comments. What was uncanny to me was that every single one in a row is like, no, nope, sex offender, predator, absolutely not. There was nobody that even would consider the idea of it. And then we had to think, did they even read the article?
Right.
At all?
Right.
Were they just basing it on the headlines?
Well,
I don't know.
The answer is yes, they were basing it on the headlines because people were saying like, how could you even recommend this? And we're like, we're not recommending it.
Right.
We're recommending kind of how to look at services like this and what questions to ask yourself. That's a whole other topic. But anyway, the comment that really got me, and don't worry, you can't find it anymore because she hates us and she's unfollowed us forever. She made sure to let us know, was looking at the idea of hiring someone to carpool your kids around. She wrote, if you didn't want to raise your kids, why have them?
Yes.
And that's from a mom of a toddler who knows everything about 12-year-olds, by the way.
Oh, God.
I thought, wait a minute. Okay, I have an 11-year-old. I may or may not be comfortable having her take the subway in New York just yet. But like, look, I'm a working mom. I can't necessarily like chauffeur her 8 million miles up to the Upper West Side for a class she has on Wednesdays after school because I'm still working. And so instead of having her take the subway, I would consider a service that vets childcare providers and make sure they have good driving records. And, you know, you meet the person first and they can drive your kids safely. But yeah, apparently that's me not raising my kids, Kristen.
I know. I mean, there's so many different ways to address this. I mean, I find babysitters on services like care.com. I don't know them personally, but I look at their background check. I look at their references and they do drive my kids. I'm a single mom. I am oftentimes needing to be in two or sometimes three places at once. And luckily, I do have a great babysitter who drives. I have a boyfriend who helps me out. But honestly, something like this is very appealing. And so to see someone say something like that to me just shows such a limited worldview, right?
Yeah.
It's like you can't even step out of your box to imagine
yeah.
where someone A would need this and B Do you really think that these companies haven't thought about like the issues that could arise?
And look, I have not used these companies. I also am skeptical and nervous. So
yeah,
this is not necessarily a defense of them. But I think it's brilliant. I think for those of us working parents who cannot carpool our kids all over the place. And by the way, city parents have a whole different set of issues when it comes to that, because a lot of parents don't even have cars. So it means like literally taking your entire day off to get your kids to activities if it's not in the neighborhood. And there's a difference between having a 2-year-old that you would put in a car with a stranger and having like a 12-year-old with a cell phone who is trained in karate.
I know. Well, we could go on and on and on about this. But what that did to me, and I think it did to you too, is it's just one of those many things that we hear when it comes to working moms, right? That is a common comment.
So several years ago, I did an article for Red Book Magazine where they asked me to do a funny piece on 10 things not to say to a working mom. And I asked my readers on Mom 101, and they provided things that they've actually heard people say or that they've made jokes about. And I kind of called them into 10 things. And so we should go through some of them because they're really funny and really sad.
I know. I'm impressed that you somehow made them funny.
Yeah. So when I went back to work, when my kids were a little older, I remember somebody saying to me, "It must be hard missing all those special moments every day."
Yes.
Why would you say that to me? It's like that weird backhanded compliment. Like, oh, it must be so hard. I'm just trying to sympathize with you missing your child's life.
You know, it's backhanded empathy is kind of
there
what it is.
Backhanded empathy.
And I don't even know. I think we just invented that, Liz.
I like that.
We should trademark.
We need a term for that. Yeah.
Trademark.
That's a good one.
Backhanded empathy. Trademark.
So yeah, I would say don't say that. I mean, because here's the thing, and we've talked about this before. Special moments happen all the time. When you're there, when you're not there, when your partner is with your kid, when the grandparents are with the kid, when you're sleeping and your kid comes into your room and goes, "Look, I pulled out my tooth." You know what I mean? You can't be there for every moment all the time.
Exactly. And let's be honest here, because I was a stay-at-home mom at one point in time.
Yeah.
And guess what? You're missing moments there too, because you're doing laundry, you're sitting on the couch eating bonbons, watching Real Housewives. Oh, wait.
You know what? That's true. Wait, I have to data nerd this for just a minute, because
uh-oh,
I found this great post on QZ.com about the myth that working moms fail their kids, that it's fueled by decades of bad science. In the early 90s, there was this research that turns out to be totally faulty based on really bad premises. It's a great video. We'll link it up on Cool Mom Picks. And what they found is that mothers who work full time, it's not that they don't spend as much time in total in the presence of their children as mothers who stay home. It's that the primary care time, or the time spent interacting with your kids, is exactly the same.
It's very interesting.
Whether you work at home or work out of the home, or you're just, you know, raising your kids full time, that actually mothers are spending the same amount of time with that like important primary care time like you're talking about. Because even if you're home with your kids, you're doing other stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So there you go. The research bears that out, Kristen.
I love a good data nerd, Liz. I really do.
So what's another thing you should never say to a working mom?
Never say, "I'm surprised you went back to work. Your husband seems so successful."
Oh, God. That's like my entire neighborhood.
Well, now, this one is really interesting to me, because actually, confession here, I have thought this prior to my coming to the bright side, Liz, coming to the light.
The light of non-judgment?
Yeah, exactly.
We're happy to have you here.
Well, you know, look, I was raised by a stay-at-home mom. She homeschooled me. I had a limited worldview, and I didn't really understand what it meant to be a stay-at-home mom until I was one for a few months. And honestly, work saved me.
Yeah.
It saved me mentally and emotionally.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I, at one point in time, would see women who were married to husbands that were clearly making a shit ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I did say to myself, and I've heard other stay-at-home moms say this, and other moms in general say, "Well, that's weird. I wonder why she's working. I mean, she doesn't have to work." And that drives me crazy, because I had that experience myself.
Yeah. Well, it reduces work to just a purely financial, transactional decision. And it's not. The idea that you don't need to work is, well, maybe you do emotionally. Like, maybe you needed to go to a job or find fulfillment outside of your kids.
Exactly. Like you said, it's not just a financial transaction. I mean, for some people, it absolutely 100% is. It has to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in these circumstances, when someone would say this comment, there's so much more going on. You know, why
true.
Can't we get away from our children for 20 hours?
You know, we've talked about this so many times before on Spawned, that it's really good not to make everything about you. So maybe your choice to go to work or not go to work or someone else's choice is financial, but somebody else's might not be financial. There may be like other reasons for it. So when you say like, I can't believe you went back to work, your husband seems so successful. Also, by the way, maybe he's not. Maybe he's got a gambling problem. Maybe he's $8 zillion in
debt.
That's true. Maybe you're trying to work your way into asking for a divorce and want to have more money on your own. You have no idea what's going on in that person's life. That one gets me. Okay, here's another one. Never to say to a working mom, oh, it's so cute when they call your nanny mama.
Oh, God. No, it's not.
Somebody once said to me like that they thought that my former sitter was the mother. They're like, she's so great. She's so engaged with the kids. Like, I thought she was the mom for so long. And you know what? I liked the idea that she was so involved and attentive and great, probably more than I would have been.
Exactly. I was going to say, clearly not the mom. Okay? There are some awesome moms out there, and I'm sorry. We are all frazzled. We are all trying to get pants on our children. We're arguing about eating the damn piece of broccoli on the plate. When you see a person who's like lovingly with their children and like caressing them all the time and playing on the floor with them, that's the nanny.
You could just say, you know what? You have a really great nanny.
Yes.
How wonderful that you found somebody who can really take care of your kids and who clearly loves them. And you should know that when you're not around, they're in good hands. That's what you say to a working mom.
Yes.
Not like, oh, it's so cute. They think she's the mother. So what's another one?
I just love my kids too much to leave them during the day.
Oh, you win. You win best parent.
I don't even know what to say. I mean, I want to say that we all want to be around our children. We don't want to leave them, but that's a lie because I think that we do sometimes want to leave them. You know what I mean? Like, we need a break.
You know what? Not everybody wants to leave them. I think some people really love being around their kids all the time. I mean, I know people like that, and I think that's fine. But I think the problem with that statement, I love my kids too much, that to me is comparative. It's like saying that I love my kids more than you do because I stay home.
I agree with that statement, but I have to say I disagree that there are people that love being around their children 100% of the time. I think everyone needs a break, and guess what? You're lying.
But don't you know parents that like they have like five-year-olds and they say they've never had a night away from their kids?
Yeah, but that to me is bullshit.
You don't buy it.
No. You know what that is, though? Look, that's not you love being around your kids too much. That's paranoia. Seriously, it's paranoia. I'm just calling it out right now. When you don't want to leave your kids with anybody, you never want to leave them alone, you don't want to get a babysitter, you'll only leave them with the one grandparent, that's not loving your kids too much. Because guess what? I think it's good for your kids to be around other people, too.
Yeah,
I think that's you being afraid and needing to have control.
And it's not just paranoia. I mean, I think Samantha Eddowes talked about this on the show a few weeks back when we talked about her book, The Pie Life.
Yes.
She talked about how there are some moms that see themselves as an extension of their children to the point that they don't have anything else going on in their lives.
Right.
That's not necessarily a criticism. It's more like a, here's a thing you can work on.
Yeah, because you know what? Every now and then I run into a parent who's like, we've never left him with anyone ever. And the kid is like 7 years old. And honestly, I just want to say, like, it's okay. It's okay. No one's going to think any less of you. No one's going to think that you don't love your kids as much. They're going to think, oh my goodness, she's not as crazy as I thought.
Well, also, really, do you think that the entire parenting world is spending all their time like thinking about your own parenting choices? Like, I got my own shit going on, lady.
Oh my God.
I'm not really like spending all my time giving you credit for like how many nights you stay home with your kid. Like, I have my own stuff to worry about.
Exactly. I think you just have to use your own self as the barometer and not other people. Isn't that like basically all things in life, though? Use yourself as the barometer. All right, what else, Liz?
Okay, here's another thing never to say to a working mom. This came from one of my readers. And it was, did you see Dateline, the one with the hidden camera in the daycare?
Oh, God.
Like, who would do that?
I don't know either.
I think they're just trying to make themselves feel better about their own choices by putting someone else's down. But why in the world? It's kind of like someone's about to take a flight to be like, oh, did you just hear about that plane crash? Like, who thinks that way?
That's so true. Would you ever say, like, remember 9/11 when you walk onto the plane? Like,
but people
come
do. People do that all the time. It's like they're trying to relate to you or something, and they think plane equals plane crash. That was on the news yesterday. I'm just going to open my mouth and talk about that instead of thinking about, like, this person is getting on a plane and maybe needs reassurance and not a reminder that she could die tomorrow. I think it's the same thing with, like, did you see that awful Dateline? First of all, not every daycare is like that. And second of all, that's probably not what a parent needs to hear.
Oh my God, that's a way to breed social anxiety. I mean, we could be like, did you? And then blank, blank, blank. Like, none of us would ever leave the house.
I know, it's
now true. I don't want to leave. Now I'm going to stay in this podcast closet, Liz. Speaking of paranoia.
I'm safe among my clothes.
All right, so another one that I hate is, I could never let someone else raise my children. But that's just me. Yeah, we got to love that one, right?
And that goes back to exactly what we heard on Facebook, right?
Yes.
That the idea of having someone else carpool, chauffeur, drive your kids to an activity equals letting someone else raise your kids.
Well, you know what's so frustrating about this is that we forget that raising children has always traditionally been about the village. We are really this culture in the United States. Sorry, Canada. I didn't want to lump you in on this one. But I think mostly in the United States, like, we are so about being the ones, right? Like, we are the parents.
Independence and autonomy.
And it's just not like that anywhere else. There are grandparents. There are people in the community. There are aunts and uncles, godparents, all those people that help raise your children. And quite frankly, like, I don't have as much of that in my life. And I really wish I did, because I truly believe that the children benefit from having different points of view, having people around them that may not necessarily agree on everything, that have different ways of interpreting things. That's what they get when they're raised by a village.
I completely agree. And I also think when you hire a sitter part-time, full-time, who's taking care of your kids and they're fantastic, if you are a good parent and you are a good manager and boss, you're setting the rules. You're the one saying, here's the food in the house. Here's what I want them eating. Here's how I want you talking to them. Here's how I want you to deal with it if somebody's pushing them on the playground. You are still the parent. And I think the idea that someone else is raising your kids simply because they're kind of following your lead, that's like saying that a father doesn't raise his own kids because he's not with them all the time. That doesn't make any sense. Lots of people raise kids, but in the end, if the final authority comes down to the parents, working parents, you are raising your own kids. It doesn't even matter who's with them during the day. It's like my teachers aren't raising my kids. Well, maybe they are. Maybe they're to some degree, and that's actually probably a good thing. I'm not as good at teaching my kids geometry.
I mean, they are there, what, 6-7 hours a day? So kind of, they are.
And then, you know,
this is my favorite one, Liz.
Yeah, one of the things you should never say to a working mom. This is
ever.
One of my favorites too. Oh, I wish I were as laid back as you and could just let the housework go. And my answer is always like, you're right. That would be good. I really enjoy letting the housework go.
Oh my God.
So, I mean, we've talked before about, like, sometimes the dishes in the sink just aren't as important as anything else. Or maybe if you are working out of the home or you have two incomes, you can afford to have a housekeeper once a week. But again, that backhanded empathy, or really, this is just a backhanded compliment, right? If I were as laid back as you, my house would look like crap too. You're just such a role model for laid backness, Kristen, with your dishes in the sink and the dog hair on the couch.
That's what I strive towards, Liz, is to being the queen of laid backness.
So I know we're joking about this stuff, but I think it really comes down to, like, this mommy war BS that comes up all the time. And
yes,
especially for our listeners who have younger kids and are in the thick of it.
Yes.
Just know we can look back and laugh on this now. And I promise when your kids get older, you're going to be less thin-skinned. Like, some of these things got to me when I had little kids. I was not, like, okay with it. It was hard. And I did feel guilt.
Also, P.S., you're exhausted. You might still be breastfeeding if you're dropping your baby off after maternity leave. There are a lot of factors that come into play. Like, it's the worst time for people to be assholes. Like, people can be assholes now. Like, my youngest is 6. You can totally be an asshole to me, and I've got so many comebacks.
By now, you're like, please, I've got 4. They're all still alive. I think I'm good. But thanks for the advice.
But also, I'm getting a little more sleep than I was when they are babies. But I think it's, like, the worst time. We're so tender at that point. We're so raw. And when people come in and say this stuff, they might have good intentions. But guess what? The road to hell is paved in good intentions.
Actually, this week, I saw a friend of ours, Audrey McClellan. She writes at Mom Generations. She wrote a really similar post. Her comments were things like, who helps your husband when you're away all the time? Can you imagine that?
You know what that is, though? though? That insults the dads. People don't even think about that, honestly.
It's like when Melania Trump gave that interview and said, oh, I have two little children at home. One is my son, Baron, and one is my husband, who's 70.
Now I'm grossed out.
Also, Audrey had someone say, how do your kids do in school with you away so much? How would you answer that?
I don't know. I mean, their dad is there. Like, we're co-parents. There's so many issues here, Liz. My head is kind of spinning. But for that one in particular, and I think even the one before that, It has a lot to do with how society still sees the roles of moms and dads.
I think that's a great point.
There are so many dads in my life, not that I'm related to, either by blood or by ex-marriage, but other dads that are so 100% involved with their children. They are co-parents, if not more. When we say those kinds of things, we are denigrating dads and we are continuing to perpetuate the myth about fatherhood.
That's such a good point. And I've always said that, you know, people rise to their own level of incompetence if you'll allow them to.
Yes.
There are some dads that didn't grow up with strong moms or they didn't have as many chores around the house and they are perfectly capable of changing diapers. And if you take over all those things or think it can only get done right or well when you're around, you're basically saying to them, you don't have to do this. And you're giving them permission not to help.
Exactly.
Dads are perfectly capable for the most part, and we need to let them be capable. We need to stop thinking that we can do it all. And I think we need to your point, stop assuming dads are incompetent and that everything falls on the mom.
Yes.
When I was working in an office full time, people said to me all the time, so who's with your kids during the day?
Right.
My kids were like, you know, 5 and 7 then. Nobody said to the working dads in the office with kids the same age as mine, so who's with your kids during the day?
Exactly.
No one ever, ever. I used to joke about that with the dads and I'd be like, how come people just like assume your wife is home or that it's not even like a topic of conversation for men? But for me, it's the first thing they think of is like, oh no, those poor kids.
I know. And then look, this is something that I think of dad 2.0, you know what I mean?
Like the dad 2.0 conference.
Yeah. And I think about like the NYC dads and all those groups of people, you know, online and in person that are really trying to change the perception. And I think their work is so valuable because when we show how capable dads are, it takes the burden off of us.
I agree.
You know, like I need that.
I'm glad you brought those guys up too, because I think those are two groups in particular that are doing a really good job of connecting the community of engaged, involved fathers and actually putting positive messages out there into the world about how valuable dads are and what a good job they do.
Yes. All right. So we've talked about what not to say to working moms. So, but what can we do to help working moms? What are our tips? Because we're working moms.
Well, let's talk about what we do.
Yes.
Yeah. So what's the one thing you deal with as a working mom? Like, how do you get through the day without feeling too much guilt?
Look, to be fair, I work from home. I see my children an awful lot. So the quantity is definitely there in my life, which is different than a lot of people who don't have the quantity of time. But guess what? That doesn't matter. Experts, so many experts. We had Sam Edis on here said the same thing. It's about the quality of time you're spending with your kids. It's not the quantity. Just repeat that over in your head. Quality of time. Quality of time.
It's really
it's
true.
So true.
She had this one line that I thought was excellent. Kids, when they grow up, they say things like, my mom was the best mom. She worked 2 jobs to support us. Or she went from 1 job during the week to another job on the weekend. Like, people think proudly and admirably about parents that are working to support them.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody says, oh, I really resent my mom because she had 2 jobs to try to support us as a kid.
True. It's very true.
They remember the bedtime stories you read to them. They don't remember that you missed a dentist appointment.
Yes.
They remember the donut, not the hole.
Quality of time. All right, what's next? Number 2.
I would say find your village, which we talked about earlier, but that is so important. We cannot stress that enough. It is okay to rely on other people for help, guidance, assistance, childcare, sanity breaks, movie partners, whatever it is you need. Find your people.
Yeah, and guess what? Sometimes you might have to pay them. Sometimes your village might be nannies and babysitters, whether they're full-time or part-time.
Not all villages are free, like grandparents.
Yeah.
And sometimes you pay grandparents in other ways, trust me.
Yes, but you know, there are moms, there are dads that they want help themselves. And I think if you can find someone, like I have an arrangement where I carpool with some of the parents for hockey because I can't always do it. And so I'm like, hey, I'll pick up your son if you can bring my son home. And it's fine. I think once we just get over it and we realize it's okay, it's good for them, it's good for us, then it's okay.
Plus, you know, they can compensate for skills you don't have. Like my sitter, who we don't have anymore, she was amazing at art. And she did tons of art and craft projects with my kids all the time, like the kinds of stuff I don't have the patience for. I always felt so grateful that she was spending her time doing that stuff with them, because I think that was bringing something to the table that I did not. You know, I'm not in a two-parent household, so I have to lean on those other people to bring that stuff to my kids. And I love that. And, you know, even when I was coupled, I used to say, like, oh, it's so great that they have a dad who will, like, roll down the hill in the snow with them in the dog poop dog run in Brooklyn, because I won't do that. You know, like, it's nice to look at all the other things that other people can bring to your children, including love.
Yeah, and you know what? Don't feel bad about it. I mean, I have friends that throw great parties and they do crafts with their kids. And I think about it because I would like to do some of that stuff. I just often feel too overwhelmed. I'm too tired. And so I'm so grateful. I try to look at it from that viewpoint.
From a gratitude point.
Yes.
I love that.
Rather than feeling bad about myself, you know, and I think it changes things.
So what's another tip for working moms?
Well, just remembering you're not alone. I think it's different for you, Liz, but where I am, it feels like I am one of the only single, especially working moms. And this is in particular with my daughter's kindergarten. Like, they do fun Fridays. They do all this stuff that requires parents to come in. And I tend to try to get off to go in, but I feel like I'm the only one. And that's so not true, right?
The only one who's running back to work after drop off.
Yes, or can't make it because I am working.
Well, you know what? I data nerded this for you.
Yay!
Data nerd.
Woohoo!
I went to the Department of Labor's website where you can see stats. Now, unfortunately, they're only as recent as 2012, but it turns out 70% of moms with kids under 18 are in the workforce.
Whoa.
That number goes up to 75% when kids are over six. So it's interesting you brought up kindergarten, because actually after kindergarten, more moms specifically are going back into the workforce.
Interesting.
And that's up significantly. Like when I was a kid, the number was 47%. Now it's up to 75%.
Wow.
That's a really big change. And if you factor in the unemployment rate of mothers is about 7.3%, then basically like almost all mothers, 83%, are either working or looking for work. So in your suburb, you may feel kind of alone, but the reality is there are more people than not that are sharing this issue and having these feelings of guilt and balance and frustration and struggle. And so you're really not alone.
I suddenly feel better.
The other thing I always try to keep in mind is you don't have to justify your decisions to anyone.
Amen, sister.
All that matters is that you are feeling like you are doing the right thing for you and your families. And the truth is, when you make peace with whatever your decisions are, you really won't care that much. Like if someone says to you, Kristen, I can't believe you're wearing silver instead of gold. Like you wouldn't get mad, right? You'd be like, whatever, who cares?
Yes.
And like you kind of get to that point as your kids get older with a lot of the things. Like right now, if someone were to say to me, I can't believe you stopped breastfeeding at 9 months, I'd be like, yep. Like, I just wouldn't care. But back then I would have felt horrible.
Also, I'd be like, why are you asking me that question, you weirdo?
I know. But back when I stopped and I was feeling bad, like, oh my God, it was so much guilt. Like, I should be doing this longer. I should be doing better. As my mom always says to me, ask yourself with anything that you're having a struggle with, will this matter in 5 years?
That's great.
Will this matter in 10 years?
That is so great. I always think, will they remember it after you're gone? No. I go the morbid way, Liz.
Here lies Kristen, mom of four, breastfeeder for 36 months.
Nobody gave a shit. All right. So also, you have to give up the idea of balance.
Oh,
just
yes.
Forget it. Right now, everyone, say it. There is no such thing as balance.
There is no such thing as balance.
There you go. Because there really isn't. It's not possible. And you know what I love? There's this hockey mom in the group that I'm in with my son's team.
Uh-oh, hockey mom story.
Hockey mom story. But if your child plays a sport regularly, you know that it's a huge commitment. It's 2-3 practices a week. Even dance moms. I mean, there's so many things now that kids are doing.
I got theater kids now.
Right,
so,
there you go. Your whole weekend is sucked away. And I remember she said, sometimes we just can't do everything and that's okay.
Oh.
She's like, you know what? We're going to have to miss this practice or we're not going to be able to make this extra game because I need to have a life too. I need to be able to do some things. I need time with my husband. And I was like, go girl.
That's awesome.
Which no one is saying anymore. So they looked at me like I was a weirdo.
Think about how much more helpful and amazing that woman is to speak to another mother
yes.
in such positive terms like that, instead of saying like, well, if I loved my kids as much as you do.
Yes. We all feel like we have to be able to do everything. And we want to do right by our children. We want them to be all the games. We want them to be all the practice. practices. We want them to get their homework done. We want.
Yeah.
And I think if we can just let that go, and hey, a lot of it when it comes to getting stuff done is your kids got to chip in.
Oh, yes.
And I know this is different for people with babies, but you know what? You can have a better sense of balance, if it is possible, when everyone else is picking up the slack and doing their part.
That's really good advice. You're like my role model for this, by the way. I always tell my kids, like, what are you complaining about unloading the dishwasher? Do you know Kristen's kids have to clean the bathtub? So, you're my threat mom.
What would Kristen do?
It's true. WWKD. And then here's my last tip, and I really mean this. This comes back to something we said earlier. Know that it's okay to love to work outside the home.
Yes.
Like, I find fulfillment from work. And that doesn't mean I love my kids less or don't want to be with them. It's just who I am. And I accept that about myself now at mumble years old. Like, I've come to terms
with
that.
It's true. It's true.
And you know what? If I had $10 million and I didn't have to work, I have to tell you, I would be sitting home writing novels. Like, I would still be working. I wouldn't just be like, I'm going to learn lots of crafts. That's not who I am. I'd be doing something.
Liz, if that happened, I would take you to the doctor if that happened.
Okay, I'd be writing novels while trying to learn crafts. How about
that? No, that's bullshit.
You know
we
me.
Should say this, though, uh-huh. is that there are a lot of moms out there that don't love their job. It's not their passion.
Right.
But it's okay to feel all right about wanting to just get out of the house.
I agree.
Like, so even if you don't love your job, being able to do what it is that you do and get a little break from whatever it is at home, whatever the kids are whining about, that's okay, too.
I'm really glad you brought that up. I think that's a good point, because it's okay to not love work, too. And it's just good to know yourself and understand who you are, what makes you tick, what makes you feel balanced, if there is such a thing.
Yes.
And once you really come to peace with that, it's harder to let other people get under your skin. They just can't, because you're like, look, I am who I am and you are who you are.
Yes.
And keep in mind that other people just have other situations and other choices, and we don't know the whole picture. Just because you see a mom on their phone in the park doesn't mean they're a neglectful parent. Just because you see a mom who misses the play because they're at work all the time doesn't mean they like hate parenting or they're fielding it out. Like, you have no idea what's going on. So I think it's also good to know yourself, and it's good to know that you don't know other people.
Wow, so much that we talked about today, and I would love to hear from listeners too. Does it matter what kind of mom you are? Work at home mom, work out of the home mom.
I want to know, what's the worst thing anybody said to you as
yes.
a working mom?
Oh my gosh.
If you have something great, awful, funny, sad, pathetic, something you just want to make fun of and be totally passive aggressive on social media, tweet
yes.
us at CoolMomPics. Use the hashtag SpongeShow and we'll retweet our favorites.
Yeah, and make sure you check over on our Cool Mom Picks podcast page. We will link up the Facebook post that started this all, along with some of the articles that we mentioned during this segment. All right, well, we will be back with our cool picks of the week after this.
So, Kristen, I'm excited to welcome a whole new sponsor this week, Bitsbox. Do you know these guys?
Yes. Hey, anything that's STEM and coding gets my attention right away.
It's a really cool monthly subscription for kids that helps teach them to code. It's really fun. There's basically three different choices.
Oh, nice.
So you can do a digital subscription, which is kind of the most affordable one, where kids will get all these cool coding projects each week so they can learn to build their own apps.
Wait. They get to build their own app?
Yes. Isn't that cool?
That is fantastic.
I know. Like, my kids need an excuse to play with apps more. Here, play with the ones you built.
Exactly.
Or you can upgrade for a little bit more and get a subscription of Super Cards, in which case they actually get a box in the mail, or my favorite, the Deluxe Bits box, where they get cards and temporary tattoos and fun stuff that really brings the whole idea of STEM education and coding to life. Plus, you know, kids love getting packages in the mail every month, right?
Well, and also I love this idea of taking screen time, which kids love and maybe a little obsessed with, and turning it into something that's so educational. And man, like, the idea of kids creating real working apps, I think is so awesome.
I think so too. And if you look at the quality of what they're sending out, it's really good. Like, we see a lot of subscription boxes.
Yes,
and this
we
is
do.
A great quality. So I'm really happy that Bitsbox is offering a special discount for Spawned
Yay!
Listeners. You get 15% off any Bitsbox subscription with promo code COOLMOM when you visit bitsbox.com/coolmom. That's B-I-T-S, bitsbox.com/coolmom. And you can find them on social media channels at Bitsbox Kids. Now it's time for
Cool Picks of the Week! Cool Picks of the Week!
You want me to go first this time?
I think you want to go first, and I want you to go first, Liz. Okay. I want you to be happy.
That's just what we live for, to make other people happy. And actually, this is a great pick that I think will actually make a lot of people happy.
Oh, good.
Speaks of the topic today. So one of our favorite bloggers, Alana Wiles, and a lot of people know her better as Mommy Shorts.
Ah, yes.
She's come out with a fantastic book called Remarkably Average Parenting.
That sounds right up our alley.
Remarkably Average Parenting. It's really funny. And we see a lot of blogger written books and a lot of parenting advice books and a lot of humorous parenting books. And this one really stands out, you guys. It's so funny and it's so good. And I think what's great about it is it's not just like funny advice book, which it is, but she takes in so many images and funny stories from Instagram and content from all her different social feeds that other parents have submitted. So it kind of feels like the best of like your favorite social media feeds come to life in this book. Like she has a average parent problems feed that's really popular. And she has another one called Mommy Shorts. She's like all over social media. And she's brought all that stuff together in the book. It's just so funny. It's so brave and honest and funny and self-deprecating.
Ugh, we need some of that, especially now.
My favorite thing, a visual guide to a grandparent's complete lack of understanding of the meaning of the word childproofing. Like all the things that people took pictures of them next to like statues balanced on little pedestals and stuff.
That's awesome.
And then also she has this really great page. It's very reassuring. It's about how we all survived our own childhood. So you need to chill a little bit.
Yes.
And it's got all these real 70s era photos of kids like playing bartender at home for the parents and mixing a drink.
Wait, hold on. Are you sure that's the 70s? Are you sure these weren't just all taken in Williamsburg?
I don't know. That's pretty bad hair for today.
Oh, Liz.
But there is actually a picture of a baby in a car seat sitting on a stovetop.
Oh, my God.
I know.
We survived.
I know. It's really funny. So not that we are recommending you do any of those things, but I think the book will really make people laugh. It's fun to read. Actually, my kids loved it. They wouldn't put it down. So it's called Remarkably Average Parenting from Mommy Shorts, Alana Wiles. And that's my cool pick of the week.
Awesome. Well, mine is something called Newly, N-E-W. L-Y, and it just launched. We got the exclusive scoop on this brand new site, and it was started by one of our favorite people. He's one of five of the founders, Barrett Ward. You know who Barrett Ward
is. I love Barrett. He started Fashionable,
yes.
The brand that I found when I was in Ethiopia that puts women to work to make beautiful accessories and help them make a living for themselves and their families.
Yeah, he's always been human-minded when it comes to business, and I love
that. He's good people.
Yes, and this new venture is all gorgeous, amazing home goods that are 100% made from recycled or repurposed materials.
Ooh.
It's unbelievable. And so I know when you hear that, you think, oh God, what do these look like? Because when you hear stuff made from like 100% recycled and repurposed materials,
I think of those bottle top handbags
and the candy purses, which, you know, those have a function.
They have a function when you're like 14.
Yeah, I think that's being generous. But anyway, these are gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yes, they're made using sustainable processes. And we're talking beautiful drinking glasses, wine glasses, throws, the cutting boards. We opened these. He was so kind to send us some so we could take a look at them because we featured them on Cool Mom Picks and we'll link them up. They are beautiful. So beautiful.
I have not looked at the site yet. I've been so busy being the multitasking, busy working mom. I haven't checked it out.
With no balance.
So this is newly.com?
Newly.com. So if you're looking for something gorgeous for your own home or you're looking at holiday gifts already, of course, you know, Liz, keeping in mind of the materials that are being used, the processes, they're not cheap. Like, this is definitely on the splurgy end of things.
Well, it's
probably
why it looks nice too, and not like a bottle cap handbag.
Exactly. You know, I said in the post, this is not fast fashion. Okay. Like, these are things that you will have for a really long time. So anyway, if that's your jam, go check them out. It's newly.com. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Spawn.
Yeah, this was a fun one. And hey, we're always grateful to you guys, our listeners, for taking time out of your extremely busy lives to listen to us for half an hour each week. So thank you. And thanks to our sound engineer, John Bowen, who is the bomb.
And we love hearing from you. Please send us a tweet, catch us on Facebook, drop us an email, spawned@coolmompics.com. Leave us a review on iTunes and make sure that you subscribe and download our episodes. It really does help other people find us, and we love to find new listeners.
Plus, you wouldn't want to miss a week. That would be a tragedy in my world.
Thanks so much for listening to Spawned. This is Kristen.
And this is Liz. Have a great day.
Bye.